Greetings, my brothers and sisters. We are thankful that we have reached this final week and thankful that the Lord saw us through and He is seeing us through to the very end. He's seeing the finish result, and what matters is finishing the race. We are thankful that we are part of this race, running the race. And just as we arrived in this earthly tabernacle, in this world, we had to compete in the race through the cells, the seed that came out of our earthly fathers. We all came out through a seed, and we had to race to reach the womb, the ovaries. And we are all here today because we have won the race. But that was just a shadow of the reality that we are racing after, the heart of God. The real race is in the spirit. The real race, we are running patiently, putting aside every weight that so easily besets us. So let us run with patience and let us endure unto the end. The Lord has called us, and He is faithful. He has chosen us, and He will glorify us. That is His promise. So let us appreciate His word, appreciate all that He is doing with us. He has never failed to leave us for all that we have been through. He has always kept us, and He has saw us through in every situation, through the fire, through the water, through the wilderness, through all things. So blessed be His holy name. He is the one, the only one that was able to fulfill the law. And He said, the whole law is fulfilled by one word, and that word is love. And that is what Paul said, that if we have all things but do not have this love, we have nothing. We cannot fulfill the law by our own doings, our own will, by our own hands. The fruit of our labor is not enough. It was not enough for Cain, and it will not be enough for us. The only thing that is enough is presenting Christ Jesus in our bodies. And the scripture says, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. We cannot be presented without the sacrifice of the Lamb, the innocent blood. He is the one that we bear in our bodies. It is by His marks alone, the marks of Christ. As Paul said, I bear the mark of Christ in my body. We must also have these marks. These are the marks of His word that is marking us. That is the true inscription, the true engraving that we hold in, within. And as we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 31, he says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. But we establish the law. And so the only way we can establish the law is when we present ourselves, when we present the living sacrifice, which is Christ. He is the one that established the law. He is the one that fulfilled the law. And he continues to say in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So everything that Paul used to speak, he used to back it up by saying, God forbid. And he said it again in Romans. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And he said it again in Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So we're seeing it over and over that All that Paul was speaking, he would always answer the hidden question and fill in the gap of the believer. So let us have that mind as Paul had, not only searching out one part of the scripture, but taking in all of the scriptures. And all that we speak, it is not absolute. The word is absolute, so we must check ourselves. We must check everything we hear with the word of God. And let scripture interpret scripture. Let all the words come together and complete the puzzle. Whenever we hear anyone speak the word, let us be rest assured that the Lord will always fill the gaps and will clear the air to any rising question that may come. He will not leave us confused, but he will always give us the sound mind. Whenever we are sincere and whenever we are humble and come to him in humbleness, he will always give us a sound mind. I heard Brother Nice the other day when he was preaching, he was saying that if you receive any revelation or anything from God, don't put a period, a stopping point next to that revelation, but rather put a comma next to it, because the Lord is going to continue building upon and fixing and correcting. We cannot just see it in one point of view or say this is the only way. There's a perspective that we can see throughout manifold wisdom of God. He has a manifold wisdom. He has many lights in the upper room. When Paul was preaching in the upper room, it says there were many lights in the upper room. And we can see in each light a perspective. But all these lights came by the original light, by one Spirit. We are drinking from the same fountain. Amen. And just as we see it in the Gospels, the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they each had a different vantage point, a different view, and a different perspective to the story. But they all completed each other. They all worked together to make up the whole puzzle of God's perfect picture for us. So let us bring all that we hear back to the Word. Jesus said, be careful what you hear and how you hear. Not everything that we hear is pure gold, but everything will be tested in the fire, and whatsoever remains through the fire will remain forever. That is the final test, that it has to go through his fire. Whatever is made of wood or of anything that will burn, but whatever is of gold and of things that are going to be set in the house of God will remain. Amen. So let's just appreciate the Lord that he is taking us on this beautiful journey of his word. It's the journey of love. It's the story of redemption. And we are a part of that story from eternity to eternity. What a journey love has taken. We were in that mind of love. We were in that perfect love of God. As he saw us there in his mind, he saw us in perfect love. And we are in that never-ending story, a world without end. And sometimes we want the Lord to finish our story because we run out of patience. We ask the Lord to come already, please come. But we are in need of patience. The Lord is writing patience in each one of us. He promised Abraham and Sarah a promised seed, but they needed to wait patiently for it to come. I'm sure they got tired and weary and old during that journey, but the glory was so much greater when that appointed divine time came for them. Let us trust in the timing of the Lord. His timing is always perfect. And Sarah was typing that church. Sarah was the one who was calling Abraham her Lord. And we are that Sarah today. We are typing the church of Christ. We have reached a very old age, just as the church of God It's been 2,000 years. Seven churches have passed by. And the body has grown, but it's getting weary at the end of the journey. But that is when Sarah received her body revival. That is when the true pleasure came. After she had lost all pleasure, then the true pleasure came. So just when you think that you're losing the joy of the Lord, know for certain that the Lord will restore. He will restore the joy of your salvation. Because He is redeeming us and reviving us little by little. He's giving us reviving so we won't faint in the way. He doesn't want us to faint in the wilderness. He said for us to pray that we faint not in the wilderness. So let us pray without ceasing, because prayer is keeping that intimate stimulation alive between us and the Lord. Just as it was in the days of Job, his latter end was greater than the beginning. That's what was written about Job. And Job had said, "Oh, that all my words were written down." And truly, every word was written down. All the conversations that took place were written down. And so it is with us. All our heavenly conversation is reserved. All our prayers are being reserved in the clouds. Nothing is in vain. Nothing that is of the Spirit is going to come back empty. But they will come back with great gain, with great profit, with great reward. That is our confidence. We have no confidence in this flesh. Our confidence is in the promise of God, is in the Word of God, is in the power of His cross. Amen. So let us carry our cross and follow after Him. We have to go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. Let not your suffering be loud. Let your joy be louder than the suffering that you're going through. Because the suffering of this present time is not even worthy to being compared to that eternal glory and that joy that we're going to receive when our joy will be made full, when we shall see Him face to face. We are in this pilgrimage together. We are in this journey here together. And we are exercising in this journey together. This is the real fitness exercise of our spirit, the real gym, the gymnasium that we belong to, where we are supposed to enter in daily to exercise our faith. Paul said that bodily exercise profiteth little, but the greatest exercise is for our faith, for that profiteth much. And as we begin our journey here, our Christian journey begins with little faith, with weak faith. But we are to exercise that faith, to ask the Lord to increase our faith. And what did the disciples say to the Lord? They asked Him to increase their faith. But the Lord said that if you have faith as much as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And this is our mustard seed that we have received in our new birth. We are supposed to water that seed of faith for it to mature and bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, fruits worthy to be reaped, fruits worthy to escape. We each have a hidden potential within us. We have a strong will that is in the Spirit, for the Spirit is always willing and ready, but the flesh is weak, and the flesh is making us fear and doubt, because it fears the unknown. We are afraid to go deeper in this flesh. The flesh always wants to remain in the comfort zone, but we must continue in the light, continue in His love, to reach the highest level of faith. That is the faith that Enoch possessed. That is the faith that pleased God. That is the faith of the translation, the rapturing faith. And we know that faith begins little as a mustard seed, but it has the potential to be harvested, to be translated to the Lord of harvest. So we are to exercise our spiritual man daily. Paul said, "Quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Spirit." Let us appreciate the word of life that is reminding us where we truly come from. I remember Moses, how he was reminded that his true identity was with the people of God. He was carried away by the rivers of Egypt as a baby, and he grew up in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of the world. But the time came for him when he awoke from that spiritual amnesia, and he took a stand to suffer, choosing affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, as Hebrews tells us. And when Moses was called by the wonderful voice behind the burning bush, that is when he received the confidence to lead the people out of Egypt. Now we know that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He did not let the people go. It took 10 plagues for Pharaoh to finally let them go. And it was at the 10th plague, which was the firstborn son had to die. And that is when Pharaoh finally surrendered. And we see that number 10 over and over. It took 10 plagues for the children to be let loose from Egypt. And when we see the story of Rebekah, when Eliezer went to take her away from her family, the family did not want to let her go, but they asked her to stay with them 10 more days. But Rebekah said, "No, I am ready to go." She was ready. Her heart was made soft. Her heart knew that there was a deep calling her, and she responded to that deep. And so are we responding to the deep voice of God, for he has softened our hearts. Our hearts have been softened. But this flesh is still hardened. It's a stiff-necked flesh. As it was in the wilderness, God said they are a stiff-necked people. And God had to give them the Ten Commandments written on stone. And as Moses was given the courage to bring the people out of Egypt, it was a shadow of us coming out. We know this. But let us look at something deeper. When the people crossed the Red Sea, Pharaoh had to send out the Egyptian army after them. That was the perfect shadow of the old man dying in the Red Sea. For the old man is this Egyptian man. And it says that they were all baptized in the sea with Moses. And as the people of God marched through the Red Sea and came out, all the army that followed them had been swallowed up by the waters of the Red Sea. This shadow was showing what happens at baptism when we die to the world and we begin to live in the newness of the life of Christ. But we know that Peter said, water baptism will not cleanse the filthiness of the flesh. And so were they in the wilderness. They were not cleansed of their filthiness, of their stiff-necked, hardened flesh. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, not being able to enter into the promised land. They were a stiff-necked people, but they had been baptized under the sea. Yet it was not enough. It did not end there. They needed to cross the Jordan River. But what did God tell them? That they were not allowed to cross. Their old creature, their old man, had to die. They could only cross through the new creature. And it was every new creature that came forth out of their loins that were made to cross the Jordan River. Everyone that was under 20 years of age was permitted to cross over. This is the shadow showing us the reality that is taking place with us, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the promised land, but only the new creature in us, that which is born again in Christ, will cross over. Only he will remain, and we are that new creature. that has been born again. And so it was with the people in the wilderness. It was only their newborn children that went through to that land which flowed with milk and honey. We even see the same thing with the children of Job. It was a shadow showing that all 10 of his children died. The old children had to die as a shadow to show that the new children that came forth was greater than the old. The Lord brought forth 10 new children for Job, and it was the same exact number, but he brought again 10 new children, the same amount, 7 new sons and 3 new daughters. But this time the daughters were called the most beautiful of all the earth. And that is the new creature that will cross over. It's shadows and types everywhere in the scriptures. And these three names held a beautiful meaning behind them. The name of the first daughter, Jemima, means handsome as the day. The name of the second, Cassia, means fragrance. And the name of the third means the horn of color. So these three names is exactly what we will receive. We will receive the day star. We will become handsome as the day. The moon will be made like the sun. And we will have the full fragrance of Christ. We will be smelling a sweet, such smelling savior unto him. And we will receive the horn of color. We will receive the 7 colors, his 7 attributes. Names had meaning. And we each have a new name hidden in the white stone of the holy city. And our names are all glorifying Christ. No name will give glory unto himself, but all the glory, all our crowns will be given unto Christ. Amen. And so we go back to how the children of Israel, they were all led through the wilderness, and their new creatures, the new birth, the newborn children, were only able to cross. And they were led by Joshua and Caleb, who were a representation of Christ, the Holy Spirit, leading us, delivering us. Joshua means delivering. And Caleb means loyal and faithful. And we are those faithful servants of Christ following after him. And as they were crossing over, they had to follow the ark and remove from their place to go after the ark. And that is what we read in Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. We read, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of your Lord God, and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Amen. Even the space that we see is showing the journey of the kingdom of heaven. For it took about 2,000 years for that kingdom of grace. But after that space, after the 2,000 cubits, after they crossed the Jordan River, they came to the walls of Jericho. There had to be 7 priests there who bore the 7 trumpets to bring down the walls. And what a type that is to the 7 thunders who will utter their voices to bring down the walls of these corrupted flesh, the towers of all the enemies, our old creature, our old man, the towers of that man, the towers of iniquity will fall down. And only the new creature, only Christ, who is a strong tower, shall remain. We are headed there again. That is the same pattern which took place in Joshua, and it's going to take place with us. Moses, who was a type of the shout to bring the people out, was showing us John the Baptist, who was shouting in the wilderness, preparing a people, preparing the way for the Lord. And that same pattern repeated from Moses to John the Baptist to our 7th angel, our messenger, William Branham. That same voice brought us out to prepare the way of the Lord. But it did not stop there. It continued from Moses to Joshua, leading them out. They had to follow his voice, which was a type of the voice of the archangel. And they had to be delivered to enter from that phase to the phase of the seven men who bore the seven trumpets. And so it is with us today. We are entering into that phase where we will hear the voices of the seven thunders for these walls to come down. It is the exact same pattern. We see it with Moses to Joshua to the seven priests. And we see it also with John the Baptist to the Holy Spirit working through them in Jesus Christ. And we see it transfer to the seven men that were chosen in Acts chapter 6. They chose seven men full of the Holy Spirit and honest report. They were humbly serving tables. They were furnishing tables. We see that same pattern. For the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we see it in the days of Acts when they chose seven men to furnish these tables. That was the ministry which was spoken through Stephen. He had a quick ministry. It was a fast and quick ministry. And also one of the seven that were chosen was Philip. And in Philip, we see the type where Philip flew from one part of heaven to the other. And he was transported. And that is the ministry of the seven thunders who will be transporting from one place to the other to speak to every elect seed and to speak the power to purge and to furnish their tables and to mingle their wine and to kill their serpentine beasts. We read this in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her tables." Amen. Just as the seven men were chosen in Acts chapter 6 to furnish tables, it's a humble ministry. The anointing they will receive from the seven spirits of fire will purge out all iniquity and make us truly unleavened bread in this body. This beastly serpentine nature will be killed, just as it says in Proverbs. And we shall have the new wine of Christ redeeming our bodies. God will furnish the true table in our body wilderness and bring about the best wine for last. Those who love His word will be blessed by His appearing. Those who love His appearing will see Him face to face. The appearing of His word must come first, though. And those that hear His word and believe, then the sign will follow. So let us make ready to meet Him in the air for that glorious appearing. Amen.